Good morning. The scripture reading for the sermon is going to be Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Remember next year, I explained this last week, next year I'm going to be starting off the year at least preaching out of the Gospel of Luke. And I'm planning on doing that for January and February, but my approach is not going to be to establish a series out of Luke like we might normally do, but I'm encouraging all of us to just, for those 2 months, to read and reread the Gospel of Luke at whatever pace is most comfortable for you. If that's one chapter a day, then do one chapter a day. If it's two, then do two. If you want to read the entire Gospel every week, then go ahead and do that. And as I'm rereading Luke, constantly, I'm going to write down ideas and thoughts that come, and then I'm going to build my lessons out of my reading and rereading of Luke. And so I'm trying to find a way of encouraging us to constantly be reading the Bible, to find reasons to read it, and then to try to bring that together by preaching about the very things that we're trying to read together as a congregation. So I think that we might find a lot of power available to us by reading the same book of the Bible together and having lessons be brought to us out of that reading. So I encourage you to think about that. Start now if you want. So this will be January 3rd or whatever that first Sunday in January is going to be when I bring that first lesson out of Luke. But if you want to start reading the Gospel of Luke now, go ahead. There's no reason why you can't. It's good to read the Bible. And this morning, of course, the scripture reading was out of the Gospel of Luke. And today, this morning, is the lesson is going to be out of Matthew chapter 2. I just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Obviously, won't probably see many of you or have a chance to talk with everybody between now and Friday. And then next Sunday, I'm not going to be here next Sunday, but that's past the date anyway. So, you know, sometimes we get the sense that maybe it's a banned phrase, but I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody and hope that you have a good holiday with whatever it is that you're going to be doing. Typically, on the Sunday before Christmas, I have preached from the birth story in Matthew chapter 1, where Jesus is born. But today, I want to look at the incident with what we call the wise men, or you know what we know culturally as the wise men. Of course, this incident happened historically sometime after the birth of Jesus. This isn't like the nativity scenes that we see or the Christmas cards that we get where everybody from Gospel of Matthew and Luke were all gathered at one time around the manger. These individuals journeyed for some time after the birth of Jesus to actually get there to be able to see him. So they arrived a little bit later, and this story, and I'm going to read it in just a minute, verses 1 through 12 of chapter 2, develops a theme that's going to run throughout the entire Gospel of Matthew. If you read through the Gospel of Matthew, one of the most important themes that gets discussed is the idea of faith and how we respond to Jesus by faith. So whether that's practicing good faith or whether it's bad faith towards Jesus. But one of the ways that that's developed in Matthew is through the idea of being sincere or insincere. And we see sincerity and insincerity in Matthew in the ways that people approach Jesus and ask him questions. So later in the gospel, for example, people will emerge out of the crowds and come to ask Jesus a question, and their faith is sincere in doing so, and we can just tell that by reading the context of it. And then conversely, we have people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other religious teachers who approach Jesus insincerely. And so this theme is developed very early in Matthew here with a contrast between Herod, King Herod, and the wise men themselves. And the interesting thing is that we would expect these roles to be reversed. The King Herod who presides over the Jews, we would expect him to have some idea of what it means to be sincere, but he's extremely insincere in his approach towards Jesus. And we would expect these wise men, these kings from the east who show up, who are Gentiles, they're not Jews themselves, we would expect them to be those who have insincere faith, maybe because they don't understand or maybe something else is going on, but they're the ones who are going to be the example for us of what it means to be a sincere person who worships God with that sincerity. So let's take a look at the passage, and then we'll develop it a little bit in the sermon here. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time that we have to think about your word and to seek to apply it to our lives. And I pray as you help us in this time that we would examine our own motives and our own approach to you to determine whether we are sincere or insincere in our faith. And Father, help us to learn from the example of these Magi who came at great cost and risk to themselves because they were dedicated to following your leading as they saw it through this star that was guiding them towards Jesus. Help us to see that they came with no other agenda at all than simply to worship Jesus and to give gifts to him. Help us, God, to think about the simple ways that we can worship you and devote ourselves and dedicate ourselves to you. Help us to become people who are worshiping you with the utmost sincerity and encouraging others to do the same. We thank you for all the things that you've done for us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his death for our sins. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen. One of the things that I think is most clear in this passage, and I guess this is kind of the main point of the lesson this morning, and we have to try to keep it short as well, is that it's our actions and not just our intentions that demonstrate our sincerity or our insincerity before God. And I say it's our actions and not our intentions because we can intend all manner of good things, but until we actually do it, our intentions don't really mean much. We can intend to do a lot of, for example, at the giveaway that we had yesterday, I was really moved to meet some of the families that came in to talk to them and to try to get to know them, some of the needs that they have, and hopefully some opportunities for follow-up. And that's a great thing that we do every year, but if we only intended to do that, if we just thought, wouldn't it be good to try to help some needy families, but we didn't actually put some action behind that intention, then the intention really took us nowhere. And probably, scripturally at least, having good intentions that end up not being put into action, probably in Scripture, that more often than not would be considered to be insincere. Because God calls us to be people of action, not just people of good intentions. Not just people who know the right things to do, but who actually go out and do the right things. And so we want to always be thinking about what can we do to serve God and to help those in need. But when we think about a way of doing those things, then we want to make sure that we actually go out and do those things. You know, Jesus, a number of times as he teaches, tells the people after he teaches to go and do likewise. He sends them out. when he brings the 70 together and sends them out on a mission, he didn't just say, here's some good ideas for you to think about. He sent them out in pairs. Later, he says, go and do. So Jesus himself is always teaching us that God wants us to not only know the right thing to do, not only to know the good things to do, but then to go out and do those things. And so that's what we see in that statement that I made about it's our actions, not our intentions, that demonstrate whether we're sincere or insincere in our faith towards God. You know, we're coming up towards the end of a year, a couple of weeks left in this calendar year, and then we're going to be moving into a new year. And a lot of times people think around this time of year about making some changes in their lives, about developing some new habits, about coming up with some goals for an upcoming year. And so I'm hoping that we can take the content of this lesson and what we're looking at here with these magi or wise men, whatever we want to call them, kings from the east, and we think about letting them challenge us to set some goals or some habits for next year that will help us to grow in our own faith. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate what's involved with spiritual growth. I think sometimes we think we have to have a plan in place, or we have to have some kind of pattern to follow, or we have to have some kind of complex understanding of the Bible, or whatever the case may be. And this morning, I just want to develop out of this passage a few very simple ways that the wise men approached God, or approached Jesus rather, with sincerity of faith, and then look at how we can apply those things to our lives. You know, at the end of the day, the basic core tenets of spiritual growth are worship, are being together with one another in worship, reading the Bible, and praying to God. Those are all three things. They're all simple to do. We just have to find ways of doing those things and encouraging one another to do those things as well. But before we get to the wise men themselves, let's take a look at King Herod and some of the actions that he did that demonstrated his insincerity towards God. The first thing we see in Herod's case is that he was willing to use not only people, but also the scriptures themselves for his own purpose. And his ability to actually use people and try to manipulate them towards his own goals shows quite clearly his insincerity. For example, he was disturbed by the wise men actually coming onto the scene. In verse 3, he receives a report about these magi coming, and they come to him and they say, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And then Matthew tells us when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. He's disturbed because he realizes that his hold on power now may be in jeopardy. But when the wise men come, they're coming only talking about somebody who was just born. So it's not like Herod has anything to worry about imminently. But once he hears about this so-called king of the Jews who was born, that these people from the east are talking about, he doesn't even investigate it himself at first. He gets worried about it and becomes disturbed over what's going on, over what he's hearing. And he lets this get to him because he's not somebody who's actively seeking God. He's seeking his own power, and now he hears a threat to his own power. So he follows up by gathering some people together, trying to manipulate them, and showing that he's even willing to abuse the scriptures themselves to get his way, to hold on to his power. So in verse 4, he calls together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asks them where the Messiah was to be born, so they read to him out of the Bible. And they say, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So now he's got this information out of the Bible. And we might think that maybe in his disturbed state, he's going to follow up with this and go out there himself to go see this king for himself, or to get an accurate report about what's really going on with this child. He's only heard about this from magi from the east who have come. It's not even his own people talking about this. And now that he knows what scripture says about where the Messiah is going to be born, maybe he'll handle this appropriately. But we see in what happens next that he's willing to manipulate people and use and twist scripture to get his own way on things. So in verse 7, he calls the Magi secretly because he doesn't want anybody to know what's going on. He's doing all of this behind closed doors. And he finds out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sends them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." So he puts out there this idea that he wants them to go and investigate where this child really is so that he can come in later and worship that child himself. But we know that that's not the case because of what happens later in the story. But even at the end of this narrative unit in verse 12, it says, "Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way." So God himself shows up to the Magi to say, I take a different way home. I'd stay away from this guy. We know that Herod was insincere. He was willing to manipulate people. He was willing to use people. He was willing to use the Bible selectively in a way that benefited himself. These are things for us to watch out for. When we look at our own lives and our own experience in the church and wrestle with whether we're being sincere or insincere, the things that we want to stay away from are using people and using the Bible to benefit ourselves. The Bible over and over encourages us to put others' interests ahead of our own. We see the exact opposite here with Herod. He put his interests above everybody else's, perhaps even the Messiah who was going to be born. On the other hand, the Magi are an example of people who are very sincere in their faith. And I've already mentioned one of the things that's most interesting about them is that they're not even Jews themselves. They're not people who have any understanding of what the scriptures taught, what those expectations were, what the people were waiting for. These were people who lived in a different country who were looking for God. And when God spoke to them, they followed. And because of their different ways of understanding or trying to seek understanding for God, they practiced astrology, so they'd look up in the sky and try to read what the position of the stars were about and so on. That's why they were looking for this particular star that God was leading them by. But when they saw that, they searched for where that star was taking them. When they saw that sign from God that they were waiting for, first of all, they were waiting to hear it. And when they heard that sign, they followed. I wonder how many times we might find ourselves in the same position where we have a question in our life or a direction that we're thinking about or we're trying to hear something from God. He puts a sign right in front of us, but maybe we're not really looking for it. Maybe we're not really listening to it. Or we read something in the Bible that instructs us on what we can do about that thing that we're thinking about, that issue in our lives, but we push it aside rather than doing something about it. The wise men give us an example that sincere people of faith hear or listen for the voice of God, and then when they hear it, they do something about it. They began to search for Jesus. Verses 1 and 2, again, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They were seeking Jesus. They were searching for him. They left their home. They left things behind. They went on a journey to try to find Jesus. Sincere people of faith always keep that search for Jesus in front of them. We look for ways of trying to find Jesus in everything, to hear his voice, and then to follow him. Sincere people of faith also take the Bible seriously. So whereas Herod went to Scripture to try to find out where the child was born so that he could go and disrupt what was happening, so that he could maybe kill that child himself. We know from later on, chapter 2, that that's what he did. He killed all the male babies of a particular age and younger to try to make sure that he got Jesus caught up in that. So he used Scripture for his own ends, but the wise men, of course, they didn't technically use Scripture, but they were taking their guidance from God. In verse 9, they continued to follow the star. They heard the king. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, and that's where they stopped because they were following God's guidance and direction in their lives. God's given us His Word so that we can follow the direction that He wants us to have in our lives. And if we're sincere in our faith, we'll take that Word for what it is, for as a plan for our lives from God, and we'll seek to follow that plan as best as we can. The wise men also showed themselves willing to follow God's lead, but they also showed themselves willing to worship God in simplicity and to let that be enough. They believed, as a result of seeing this sign from God, that they were coming to worship a king. And they gathered some gifts together, and they brought those gifts with them. But when they got to the place where Jesus was, they simply worshiped Him and presented their gifts. That's all they did. They didn't make it about themselves. They didn't call attention to the journey that they had been on. They didn't ask for any kind of special privileges because of who they were back home. They came and they recognized with humility who they were before this king. And although in their minds they were worshiping a king, this was just a baby, an infant. And they bowed down before an infant and offered gifts. In our own lives of faith, do we have the humility that is called for to put ourselves before Jesus, to kneel before Him, and to ask for His guidance in our lives, and then to take that guidance that comes? We see from the wise men that the biggest aspect of their sincerity was their humility. They saw that star, and they followed where it led. They didn't second guess it. They didn't try to chart the path of another star. They followed that star. They were looking for a sign from God, and when that sign came, they followed obediently. And when that obedience led them to the point where God was leading them, with humility, they bowed down before a baby, a king, and worshiped Him. Do we have the sincerity and the humility to worship God in simplicity and to offer the gift of our own life back to Him? As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, we're being renewed to offer ourselves, our own lives, our own selves, as a spiritual sacrifice to God. Do we have the sincerity and the humility in our own faith to offer ourselves to God as that gift? What gift will we give to God? As I said at the beginning of the sermon, we're kind of closing out 1 year here and thinking about another one. What if we resolved that we make next year, that we focus not only individually but corporately as one body here on being sincere in everything that we do? Now, I'm not saying that folks set out to be insincere, but we all know that times will come up next year when our sincerity will be tested. There might be a project some people are working on, and the challenge will be whether to let people handle that themselves or to step in to try to force a particular way of things being done. We all know that sometimes people do things and we question whether that was the best move or not. Will in our sincerity, will we be willing to let people grow and develop as they're growing and developing without us trying to control what they do and so on? There's some simple practices that we can take. We've already looked at the description of what the wise men did here. They searched for Jesus. They took guidance from God. They followed God's lead. And they worshiped Jesus when they found Him. Can we do those same things next year in our own lives and in the life of this church? Can we focus on our worship together as a time of fellowship that also glorifies God as we encourage one another to keep growing in our faith? Can we commit to finding God's guidance as we read the Bible together as a church and encourage one another to keep following the way of God that we discover through His Word? Can we commit to prayer as a way of connecting with God and praying for one another in this church? And can we commit to doing all of those things with humility and sincerity as we all seek and encourage one another to keep growing in obedience to God? If we do those things, we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're being sincere, that we're growing in our faith, and that we're helping one another grow in faith and be drawn closer to God as well. if anyone's here this morning and needs to respond to the message, to either seek prayer or maybe to seek to join up into this new life by being baptized into the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'd encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.